As we say goodbye to a competition we absolutely love that we won't see until Valentine's Day, we're reminded of the very last time we're going to see group stages the way that we saw them. We're going to get into it in today's episode. But guys, episode number 222 of the Jersey Wall podcast is a wrap-up of the 2023 Champions League group stage. We hope you enjoy. Last time the group stage ever looks like this, dude.
Yeah.
As I of guess next that's the way year, to put it. It's the tournament format where they're going to have a 32-team table. The eight people.
I have no idea how they're going to do that.
Yeah. I read about it online. Here's how it's going to work. Basically, you're going to have eight.
Nobody knows how it
whoever
works.
Finishes.
Don't,
I don't know.
Yeah, don't no, lie to yourself.
I'm going to try to say it with conviction and hope that it's right. But I could be totally wrong. Here's my understanding of the reading. 32 teams. Top eight advance automatically to round of 16. 9 through 24 will be drawn to play each other in a two-legged fixture where the winners will go on to face the qualifiers of the first day. Because these players aren't playing enough games, obviously. So
for sure, yeah.
Try to be a top eight team, I guess. And then everybody else is going to have
time. Hang on. Who plays who then? Everybody plays everybody?
Everybody plays... everybody's going to play, I think, 10 games. But not everyone will play everyone technically. But... each team will play a minimum of 10 games in their group stages, right. And whoever has the most points at the end in the table, the top eight will move on to the round of 16, where 9 through 24 will make up the other eight. And then I guess whoever loses goes to Europa League. I don't know how Europa is getting affected.
Do you know how I feel right now?
How do you feel right now?
Do you remember when the Nations League came out and people were trying to explain to each other how the Nations League worked?
Right.
To this day, we don't know how it works.
Yeah,
there's promotion relegation with countries and stuff like that. And it ended up being a decent competition. So I don't know. Nobody knows how this works.
No, nobody knows. And to be fair, I could have completely misunderstood that reading as well. I don't even know if the math checks out.
I feel like
I'm
you
not
made
willing
it up.
To check. 9 through 24 plays each other. How does that work? That
that's
doesn't seem like
that's
enough.
So many teams.
Maybe that's I'm wrong. Maybe it's 9 to 16 play each other. No, but that's not enough teams. You need two to go against each other because the winners will move on to the other eight. I really don't know, guys. And that's what we're here to figure out. Welcome to episode number 222 of the Jersey Wall podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mr. Nathan Sanders. With me, I got brother at FC before he becomes an international correspondent. Next time we speak, he's going to be across the sea, dude.
Next time.
Yeah, you'll be across the other side of the world. I don't know how the Champions League format will work as of next year. But I also don't know how long it will last if it's not popular or if all the players just capitulate because they're like, oh, I have to play another 10 games. Cool. Sick, bro.
And until we just open up steroids in football because nobody's bodies can do that.
All right. Listen, here's what happened. Because you know, I'm a big pro wrestling fan, right?
Yeah.
Since WWE got taken over by Endeavor and they merged to make this TKO company, I think that the wellness policy went out the window. Because Randy Orton is billed to be walking around at 275 right now. And dude is on all of the juice. Now, AJ Styles returned yesterday, and he's looking like an absolute unit as well. Now, I mean,
Logan Paul's on juice.
Yeah, but he's the exemption from it because he's not supposed to be part of the like mainstream roster. I actually don't know how their wellness policy has been affected. But dude, you can't tell me they're not on juice anymore. And I think that's what pro wrestling needs. Because if Kevin De Bruyne pulled up, imagine, like, think of De Bruyne's legs, like the size of them, Natty.
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm not saying he should turn into Adebayo Akinfenwa.
I do.
Deep cut for you guys, by the way.
I want to see it. However, I want every player to look like Akinfenwa, bro. All of them.
Skin and everything. Just still ginger, though, because that doesn't, because testosterone doesn't.
Complexion and all. I want everyone to be
Akinfenwa. Complexion and all. Yeah, him being Belgian doesn't help out in that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But think about what it would do to his knees. Just some of the stuff that like HGH or whatever, like we don't have to turn this into the Joe Rogan podcast, but if he just
Andrew Huberman.
Yeah, if he can just get like so much better, so much faster, rather than just being Saudi Arabia all the time, maybe he could finish the Champions League final.
Yeah. You know, he's got one in him. I feel like at least one 90 minutes. He's played collectively over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So he's played technically like half of the finals he's been in. But damn, bro, can't stay fit for those Champions League finals. Guys, we're getting a little off topic. But we're pitching solutions to problems, and I think that's what we like to do here on this podcast. Next year's format is going to be different than how this year's was, which means, at least for now, this is the last time we've seen the traditional Champions League group stage format that we've all known and loved for such a long time. We made our predictions. What we didn't necessarily realize at the time would be our very last group stage predictions of all time. And as per usual, we got some spot on because we're brilliant and some get the whoops, right? Simple as. We're going to take you through what our predictions were versus how the table finished and then what happened kind of in each of these groups. Before we get started, any overarching, overwhelming, immediate thoughts before we get into groups about how this group stage played out across the board?
No, man, I think let's just go right into it.
Going to get right into it? All right, let's do it, man. It's not going to take long before we get into United, obviously, because they happen to put themselves in Group A. I really feel they did that just for the narratives of it all, so that they would be the first topic of conversation. United technically finished lower in the table than we had put them in our prediction, though I will say we were spot on. Were we not spot on?
We nailed it.
We were just so we got it exactly on the head. We owe an apology to Copenhagen. So to you, I say
that is true. That is true.
What we didn't necessarily factor in here for Copenhagen, which is obviously we knew like lack of talent should have finished at the bottom. What we maybe didn't consider is the fact that they, aside from Bayern, who's the machine of the other teams, were the least chaotic. And so they were the least likely to have things go horribly wrong. As a result, they finished 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 defeats, 8 goals for, 8 goals against, 8 points, 0 goal difference, bang on second place. Welcome to the round of 16.
Just bang average is what took to actually go to the round of 16. That's hilarious.
It's so good, right? It's if you literally just finished,
oh boy, that's so even.
Isn't that hilarious?
That's so even. Just keep cruising and you'll make it through.
They literally said, let these dudes be chaotic nuts, burn themselves up. We're just going to show up, bunt it.
We're just going
to
make it.
Try to get on base, guys. That's exactly it. Just Moneyball.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Try to get on base.
So they did a great job.
That scene in Moneyball, what does he do? He gets on base. He
gets on base, bro. The batting, his on-base percentage is off the freaking charts. It's hilarious to me that Bayern finished with 2 times as many points as the next highest. Though that's not a real surprise. The only real surprise for Bayern is that they didn't win every single one of their games, and that's a pretty high standard to keep them to. Bayern will be an omission until February when we talk about them in matchups that we're looking forward to seeing. For now, I think the real story is United here, right? United, we said, could be anywhere in this group. They could finish second, third, or fourth, and it would be on them. Did Onana bet on a different team to finish above them? Because I feel like he made some real big mistakes in the group stages.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on United's campaign here.
It was a weird juxtaposition than the United that we see in the Premier League, because all of a sudden we scored a lot of goals, but we conceded so many more.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Premier League, we don't score, but we also keep a fair amount of clean sheets.
Right, right.
And how did that flip? Right? Like, we scored the same amount of goals as Bayern, but they conceded almost a third of ours.
Yeah, literally.
What happened?
No, that's a very, very good point. I don't know. I don't know what happened with United in this group, because even though we did say it's on them to decide their place, which it absolutely was, what happened? Genuinely, like, I'm asking you, what the hell happened here? Aside from the Onana spills that we saw, how is the team so different?
Do you know that Onana was only at fault for 3 of those 15 goals? Directly at fault.
That's a lot of goals, bro. 3 of the 15. Okay, so their goal difference would have been 0 then? Tell me, buddy.
Yeah. 3 of the 15 are directly his fault. The rest, if you go back and look at the Bayern Munich 4-3 game, the first game we played in the Champions League, every single time we scored, we were like, whoa! Just equally excited as everyone else to find out that we just scored against Bayern Munich. And then we just lost our minds. They just lost our minds. And then Bayern are machine. They're like, okay, we're just going to go back and score another goal.
Yeah.
And that is just applied to all, for all of the games. We were either so shocked that we scored or so shocked that we conceded that we just conceded again.
Right. That, you know what?
That was the story of the Champions League.
I think that's very, very well said. I honestly have no qualms with that explanation of it. That's pretty well exactly what happened. We could talk about atmosphere's effect, then we could talk about different lineups.
Tactics,
we could talk about some of the
everything.
Listen, bro, we how many times are we going to talk about United? We could talk about, is Ten Hag the guy? We could talk about what's going on with the forward line. We could talk about why there's such disconnect between Europe and the Prem. But truthfully, that's exactly it. They each goal was celebrated, like Vincent Kompany winning the Prem, right? Just losing his mind. And they're like, yo, could you believe we did, like, this is a win. We won. And then they conceded. They're like, well, damn, that's kind of new. And then they would just score again, concede again, score again, concede again. And then Onana really deflated some of the efforts.
Oh, some of them looked so bad.
Because yeah. I think even if they were impressed with how well they were doing in games, they're like, you know what? Yeah, like we got this. We don't have patterns of play. We don't have very good players. You know, we have a lot of pressure on us, but you know, we're doing the thing. We're doing the thing right now. We're up, you know, we're controlling whatever we're supposed to, whatever the story of the game was that. And then Onana would let in like a really, really, really bad chance. And they went, and even yeah. Onana went, you know what I mean? I have not done my team's service here, right? Like these.
Yeah, man, this club's cursed. Club's cursed. We can move on, actually.
Let's do it, bro.
I don't know what it is, but I think we've summed it up pretty well. Like tactics aside, you don't concede 15 goals to tactics.
Yeah, and if you do, you get some bad tactics. But it's crazy because it's not. It's in isolation. It's different than the league because you're right. They do keep clean sheets and they can't score in the league. So this disconnect is what we need to explore further in the new year and try to fix this.
It will reveal itself as we play more games.
Yeah. And to be fair, this chaoticness should disappear because there's no more Europe. Finished dead last.
That's true.
Right. Which means now you can focus entirely on the Prem where already it was pretty boring. So let's see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
Group B. Here's our prediction for Group B. I have it here. Group B, we predicted would go. Well, I did. I feel like we had some pretty similar ones. If I'm wrong,
correct. We had a lot of similar ones, yeah.
Arsenal, PSV, Sevilla, Lens. Now, the cheapest pick of the bunch. What's a cheaper pick for us to do? Arsenal finishing top or Sevilla finishing in Europa League spot when we did this?
I think what I remember saying is that I don't know where PSV is going to finish, but I know Sevilla is finishing top.
Right. You know what's funny? They finished last. They didn't do it, bro. They disappointed us. So both of these were gimme picks. Obviously, Arsenal were going to top this group. They were by far and away the best team in the group. No doubt about it. Not even worth the discussion. Sevilla, we know, in their history, in their blood, you must finish in Europa League spot so you can go win the Europa League. And they finished bottom. So the real surprise of this group is that Sevilla did not make it to their favorite spot, the Europa League.
Yeah. Is this a failure for their season?
Yo, yes. Straight up for Sergio Ramos, for Sergio Ramos to finish bottom of a Champions League group in his own legacy, he'll be like, nah,
right,
like that's a big deal for me because nobody signed me for like 3-4 months after my contract expired in June. I only got picked up in what, October, right? Where he conceded
by my ex club,
not to mention he cost them the victory against Sevilla. He got himself sent off twice in one game. That happened this season. He's now sent his beloved homegrown team of Sevilla to the bottom of the Champions League group where they won't even make it to their beloved Europa League competition. Sevilla have bigger problems than that. If we could stop taking the piss out of Sevilla for a second, we're not going to talk about PSV. We touched briefly last week. Good for PSV finishing second. Good for Lens for finishing in Europa League spot. The real question from this group is how valid do you think Arsenal's claims are to being a legitimate player in Europe this season are?
I'll only need to see the bracket, and I know that we currently don't have the bracket, but finishing first is going to help them out a lot because then they can get to avoid the people like, you know, Real Madrid, Bayern, and the other teams that we're going to touch on later on. There are some still pretty dangerous teams that finished in second position.
Yeah.
They should be at least quarterfinalists, I think, Arsenal. I think if they don't reach the quarterfinals, they'll be pretty disappointed with themselves. Like, for the first time back.
You don't think they're a legitimate threat for the competition? Because honestly, if you are, then it shouldn't matter who you draw, right? Like that team's going to be equally afraid to draw you, regardless if you finished first or second because of a blip. They did pretty much all they were supposed to find. Maybe we would have thought you go 6-for-6, but it's also unrealistic to think that the team's going to go 6-for-6. Your goal is to finish top of the Champions League group. Whatever your record is in that doesn't really matter, right? If you finished at the top of the group, which they did, they've done all they can. Based on what we've seen in the Champions League, based on what we've seen in the Prem, Arsenal seem to find a way to win most of the games that they play.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not make them, in some capacity, a team that you think, yeah, you know what, bro? Like, watch out.
Yeah.
This is actually a sneaky.
My expectation for them is semifinals. So I'd say, yeah, one of the big four for this year.
Semifinals, that high, eh?
Well, it's only one stage more than the last.
Yeah, but it's winning that stage. That's a big thing.
No, no, no. Yeah, like reaching the quarterfinals should be a minimum expectation. Right. I think this team is good enough for semifinals.
Wow. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I kind of wanted to hype it up to make you to I hope like, that you would no, lead I, in that spot, but I don't. And the reason is that I
want to put pressure on Arsenal.
That you're fair, you're right to. I think that you know pressure should be put on them, to be honest. I just don't personally believe that. And we've talked about this for years. Like until City crossed that line, I was like, no, City have. Yeah. You could say City are the best team. They're not winning the Champions League until we see them do it. Now you have conviction. You've done it before. Pedigree means something, especially in this competition. They don't have that. They have 1 year of competing very, and 1 year realistic. Don't before you get all pissed off, you Arsenal fans. Relax. I'm not trying to erase your history. I understand olden days are olden days. Relax. This team, this core, this manager, the refreshed, rejuvenated Arsenal, what's happening? They're at a very early stage in their project, right? Last year, they had a runaway with the league type situation that they didn't end up winning the league with. They finished in the Champions League place in second. They won their Champions League group, and now they're slowly building towards it. I don't think that there's a substitute for pedigree, even if you're talented, even if you're resilient, even if you have, you know, really, really good ability to just, sorry, this is more a note for the referee. Even if the referee is willing to let you play until you win, like all of these things are very, very important, which are all true for Arsenal. But I haven't seen Arsenal actually dethrone a big dog. And when I see them dethrone a big dog, I'll be like, okay, like maybe we can start talking about it here. Not conversation for winning the Champions League, not even conversation for semifinalists. I think if they finished in a semifinal position, I'd be like, oh my God, who did they beat? Now there's obviously like if they get Copenhagen in the next round and then they get freaking, you know, whoever, somebody flukes an upset and they find themselves in a semifinal without having to face a Real Madrid, you know, a Bayern,
City, Inter even.
Yeah, City will be a tough one. Inter, you know, things like that. But even if they beat Barca, like Barca aren't very good right now. That's good for them, but Barca have the same thing to prove, right? It's like you have a lot of work ahead of you to prove that you are amongst Europe's best. I don't know that Arsenal are there right now. But to be honest, it's not through any fault of their own. They just have to do it for me to be like, okay, yeah. I can see it. I just personally can't sign off on it until I've seen it, and we haven't seen it yet.
That's fair. It's very respectable.
So I move on to Group C.
Let's do. What did I just say?
In here.
Did I just say let's do?
Let's do. I don't know, bro.
I was going to say let's do it and let's
get
go. And
your head combined. In the game.
I'm like for Taylor.
Crying out loud here.
Taylor, get your head in the game, bro.
Goodness me, man. All right, dude. Let's go to Group C. Group C, we kind of called this a gimme group because we knew who the top two would be. Nailed it. I don't know if I convinced you to put Union Berlin in third or if you said, nah, like, I hate Bundesliga, but I are going to finish. That, to be fair, you might have done that. The way that we predicted initially, in my prediction, it went Real Madrid, Napoli, Union Berlin, Braga. And that's like putting my Bundesliga fandom ahead of my knowledge of Portugal because I'm like, nah, be like, Braga are a good team, bro. They pushed out some big hitters to finish in the Champions League spot because Liga Portugal doesn't get four Champions League spots, which means they had to really push some teams out to make it as far as they did and to be here. The way that the group finished was Real Madrid, Napoli, Braga, and Union Berlin are having the absolute worst time to their campaign. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Just not having a good time right now. Yeah, really, yikes. Really not having a good time. Now, in that, they had some really close games. Really, really fun results, especially against Real Madrid. They were really close a few times. It just didn't work out for them. Like, they really ended up...
Braga has a worse goal difference.
Yeah, but at least they won one, right? Like, Union Berlin could not win
so
a single
harsh,
game.
Man.
It is very, very hard on them.
Yeah.
Real Madrid went 6-6. Answer me something, truthfully. Because I've been kind of struggling with this. Why does it feel like Real Madrid don't have the conviction of old when, by the numbers, they're as good as ever?
Because they don't have a, like, out-and-out striker. That you don't look at them and see... conviction. You look at them and see, oh, Jude is just saving them every single week. And whether that's the truth or not, that's how we feel about them.
Yeah, the optics.
Yeah, those are the optics. You lost a Ballon d'Or winning striker and you didn't replace him. And you signed one of the best midfielders in the world right now. And he's saving you because those are all the highlights that we see. Because if someone's not watching La Liga, all you see is every time Jude Bellingham scores a winner.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's not you don't have conviction that they're on this like Bayern does, mm-hmm. and they just win every single weekend. They just you're like, oh, Jude saved Real Madrid again. If it's not him, you're not hearing it from anyone else.
Yeah, that's completely fair. I guess that leads to the next natural part of the question, which is how far can Jude Bellingham take them then? Does Jude Bellingham, without pedigree, backed by the pedigree of the club, have enough to carry Real Madrid to be one of the favorites of this competition? Because it is their competition, but nobody in the team driving this team forward.
They're always going to be favorites when they're in it.
Yeah, but nobody in the team who's driving the team forward has done it before, has crossed that line. Like, I guess the rest of the team, but this is Jude's team right now. You're right. Jude's saving them, and Jude has the least pedigree of any of them.
Yeah, I know. It would be very silly of me, though, to bet against Real Madrid in the Champions League, like we always say. I know you're not trying to bet against them. You're just like picking out points for discussion on their team.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they're definitely going far in the competition. I can tell you that. I would favor them ahead of almost anybody, bar like two or three teams. And by that logic, that's a semifinal.
Yeah, that's fair. It just feels like their pedigree outweighs their current like accolades, basically.
I totally
but at the same time, like Girona are doing exceptionally well currently in La Liga, right? Which is kind of diminishing what Real Madrid are doing because it's like they have a Leicester story going on there.
Yeah.
In the Champions League, Madrid are lining them up and knocking them down every single week. And yet internally, I'm like, Jude can't keep doing that. There's just no way that Jude can keep doing that. Vinicius has been out for a month. He's going to be out for another month, right? Rodrigo's competition is the Champions League. To be fair to Rodrigo, he turns up in the Champions League. Good for him. And they certainly have no shortage of midfielders capable of kicking ass. I don't know why the team feels like it lacks conviction. I certainly want to play against them. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying, Jude's a gimme right now by any stretch. But like, you know, Inter finished second in their group. If Real Madrid drew Inter in the round of 16,
it would be a tough game. Yeah.
I don't know that I'm betting on Madrid.
Oof.
You know what I mean? Like if that's a strictly hypothetical. By the time you're listening to this, the draw might have already come out and maybe that matchup won't happen. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there are some second place teams who can really, really get at them.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. They're definitely not as convincing as previous years. Right, this is not the most convincing Real Madrid side, but somehow they still keep getting it done.
It's Jude. I don't know how they always have a dude who just pulls up.
They
and that
always
dude
have a
is
dude
Jude.
Named Jude. Yeah,
Jude the Redeemer, the freaking best in the world right now. Any other thoughts from this group? What about Napoli? I mean, Napoli, we kind of, you know, we know that their situation is different this season than last. But are you surprised, given how awesome their Champions League campaign was last year, that Napoli did not contest Real Madrid higher in this group?
No, I think last year it was a lot was predicated on the solidity that Kim Min-jae gave them in the back, and they're missing that this year, right? Because it was a lot on Osimhen and Kvicha, and rightly so, because they were lighting up Europe. But you can't do that when you're not as solid in the back, like when you have someone like Kim Min-jae, just a rock in the back. So
that's fair. Well, he's a monster.
Exactly. And you saw what he's doing with Bayern, right? Like it's crazy. So Napoli's not as solid in the back now, so they're not as adventurous going forward, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't have as high expectations of them as I did last year, because remember last year we were saying this is the best team in Europe at this point in the competition.
They were.
Like, this is genuinely the best team in Europe.
The thing is, I feel like our opinions of that came based on what they were doing in the Champions League, because they were pulverizing everybody. They had Leipzig and Liverpool in their group. They're battering them. And Spalletti was a big part of it too, because the tactical identity he set up for them was huge, and he's not there this season. So it's a little bit disappointing, if I'm honest, because I want to see this team succeed. I'll be excited to see who they play against, like who they draw in the next round, and I wonder how that matchup goes, because I also know they're going to if they don't make serious adjustments to put them back where they were last season, they will fall off substantially right? Because the game will catch up. So you already look at the Serie A table and you're like, you know, Inter are as good as ever, right? Juve are boring, sure, but they're getting the points consistently. Milan are hit and miss, but, you know, when they're on, they're as good as anybody, which means, you know, you're slipping in one competition domestically. You're now not having the same conviction you needed to in Europe. What's the goal? What's the ambition for this project?
Is that harsh, though? They played 6-1-3 and lost 2, right? In a group with Real Madrid, where Real Madrid won 6 of 6.
Dude, they only won half their games. Points. But they only won half their games. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, fine.
The expectation is to just do better than third and fourth, right? Maybe they just didn't kick into gear yet. Like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but maybe the expectation not being on them this year is exactly what they need to just float under the radar, just like Inter Milan did last year.
I guess that's fair, especially when you consider both their losses were to Madrid.
Yeah.
Like, and Madrid were the best team in the group. I don't know. I don't have that feeling. I don't have that feeling. I didn't see Osimhen score the hat trick. I didn't see, you know, Kvara sit down 40 defenders before scoring. I've seen that before. I didn't see it this year. It feels. Yeah. Like, it's not there yet. It's not that they can't get to it. It's just based on the group stage so far.
This year.
What's that?
Maybe it's just not as novel this year.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
that's maybe fair. It's just a known quantity.
Yep. All right, fair enough. Let's move to Group D. This one had some surprises. Because this one didn't go the way that we thought it did.
I'm pretty sure we went 0-4 in this group, both you and I.
The way that we had it, I don't know if you agreed with me for the standings, but I'll tell you what I had. Inter, Benfica, Salzburg, Sociedad. Brethren, what do we say on this show when we get things wrong?
Whoops.
Whoops. Hey.
Big whoops.
Terribly, terribly sorry. However, I think I've recovered from this nicely over the past couple of weeks because I've been really talking up Real Sociedad to the point where I said I think this is their season to have one of those teams the streets will never forget.
Mm.
I know we're not there yet because I know there's a lot of names in this team that people might not know. But I feel it won't be long before a lot of heavy hitters in this team leave. And then we look back at them and go, that team was good. Like that team was such a good
team. Yeah. Like the Monaco team.
The problem is they're going to have to do it in Europe because they're not going to do that in La Liga. Girona's the story of the come up this season in La Liga. Right. Then you have your Madrids, and when I say Madrids, I mean both, right? The Madrid teams, both of them. Right. So there's two other of the spots. Barca are going to try to do their absolute best, which means you're looking at what, fifth? Even if you're the best outside of those, you're going to be fifth. Any name you can carve for yourself has to be in the Champions League. And to be fair to them, I feel they've started. Three wins, three draws. They had the same record as Inter.
Same record as Inter.
But they finished ahead of them, which means they will avoid some juggernauts in the next round, giving them the opportunity to actually reach a quarterfinal. And when you put these players on the platform like that, you have to remember who's looking at these players on this team. It's going to be other Champions League clubs who are ahead of them, who are going to go, yo, they had some good players. And look, they're capable of playing and winning a group stage. They're capable of playing and winning a round of 16. They're capable of playing and winning maybe a quarterfinal stage as well. How far can this team make it? I'm not sure yet. But don't sleep on Inter. And that's the biggest thing that we can say for this. Fine, they finished ahead of Inter. And some people might, you know, brush that off. It's like, what's Inter? Inter were the second best team to Man City last year. They finished with not only the same record as them in the group stages, but finished ahead of them in this table. That's a big deal.
Yeah, totally. Definitely don't sleep on Inter, especially because, again, played 6-1-3, drew 3.
Right.
So not the most horrific job. It just happens to match exactly what Real Sociedad did, other than goal difference and probably what, head-to-head?
It's going to have to.
Yeah, I don't know what happened when they played each other. But at the end of the day, like, Inter floating through in second should not be any reason to underestimate them. So good for Real Sociedad, though, because that just put them in a whole new bracket, literally.
Literally, it put them on a side of the bracket that they're going to want to be on. 3 wins and 3 draws. Again, nothing to, you know, it wasn't 6-for-6 or anything. But at the same time, unbeaten in the Champions League, right? They've only conceded twice. And say what you will about the other sides.
That's crazy.
The other teams in this group, fine, they scored 7. They didn't score double digits. That's fine. 7's a pretty decent return for 6 games played. I guess, considering that we don't look at their team as having like huge juggernaut superstars, superstars capable of scoring tons and tons of goals. To only concede twice is pretty absurd, right? Because you have to remember,
conceding twice for anyone is crazy.
Whatever you have to say about the other teams, all of them were able to score. Salzburg's a team who's able to score. That's like kind of their thing, right? They're like this young, exciting team producing talent. They're going to try to score. Yeah. Benfica are weak in some areas, but you'd look at them and be like, yo, do Benfica have some firepower? They scored a lot of goals last year. Maybe it's not the same team and they're lacking in some capacity, but you'd expect them to be able to score on them. And then Inter have some big dogs.
Yeah, they conceded the least amount of goals. That's crazy.
That's pretty good.
Like a couple other teams conceded 4 goals, like Arsenal, Dortmund, who else? Doesn't matter, honestly. Inter.
Doesn't matter.
Five. Inter conceded 5, but yeah. Like to only concede twice, like I don't care what you do. That in a knockout competition like this, this might actually take you far enough.
What's the expectation given that they're clearly a team capable of an upset, capable of not conceding? Is it realistic to assume that they could make it quasi deep into the competition, or is it like, all right, great, great group stage, but this is it?
Hey, let's see what they can do. This is like, it would be harsh to put an expectation on Sociedad, to be honest.
Right. What about Inter?
Let's see how far this goes. Inter, the expectation on a finalist has to be that they should be progressing, regardless of who they come up against. The whoops part for Inter is you're now in second. And you can get the Bayerns, you can get the City again, you can get Real Madrid, those other Atleti even, so just heel versus heel. But
yeah, a couple of bad guys.
Like, I don't know, man. I think Inter have actually dealt themselves a very difficult set of cards here because it highly depends on who they get. Mm-hmm. But even if they get Arsenal, like I think that might be the most favorable thing for them. Not just because it's the easiest one, but I think, or maybe not Arsenal, probably Dortmund as well. But you're really hoping that the bracket ends up in your favor.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something truthfully. I feel like the team that draws Inter will be more afraid than whoever Inter draws. And that might sound strange because Inter have the capability of drawing a Real Madrid.
Even if it's a juggernaut?
Even if it's a juggernaut. Hear me out. If you're a juggernaut, you want to face a second place team in the round of 16, and you draw Inter?
Yeah, you don't want Inter.
Right away, you're going.
Really? You know it's not going
to
be easy again.
Of all the teams, we had to draw Inter, bro. Whereas Inter will go, we got something to prove. We got something to prove. We were Champions League finalists last year. We weren't, you know, ruthless or merciless enough in our group stage. We have some big dogs to slay here now.
Yep.
We have to do that. The onus on us. Now, does that make Inter favorites if they draw a City or a Madrid or a Bayern? No, probably not. Do City, Bayern, or Madrid want to draw Inter? I bet you they take literally any other team first. Inter's the biggest juggernaut who fell here because they, to be fair to them, deserve to be in that conversation. Yeah. They were Champions League finalists last year, and they got better this year. They're better now.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, bro, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for this Inter side. And also small wins for Benfica. It wasn't in our hands, bro. We had to win on the last day. We did. We had to have Salzburg get pulverized. They did. And so we finished in Europa League spot. Woo. Hey, Europa League this year, bro, it's going to be real good.
Yeah.
Going to bang, to be fair. There's going to be some absolute very, very, very good clubs dropping into the Europa League, as well as the ones who are currently there. Somebody please stop Liverpool. Somebody please stop Liverpool from winning this competition. I don't want to see them win. Let's move to Group E. Group E, we had written as Atletico Madrid, Feyenoord, Lazio, and then Celtic, because we learned our lesson. I'm not putting Celtic in any sort of favorable position. Yep. So thank you to Celtic for finally not disappointing me, because you finished exactly where I thought you would, at rock bottom. The real story of this group is Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid are unbeaten in the Champions League. They conceded slightly more than they normally would, you'd expect from them, at least a goal a game. But they also scored almost 3 a game.
Scored so many goals.
17 goals in 6 games of the Champions League is pretty nuts, bro.
That's crazy. That is a Real Madrid number.
Yeah, literally.
Right?
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, this is not Atleti vibes here. Like, conceding 6 goals for them is preposterously huge. A goal a game for them.
This is more fun, too, because all the credit to Antoine Griezmann, who's just been awesome for the last, like, year and a half, basically. He's just been killing it. I would be more afraid of an Atletico Madrid side who had this record, whatever record they have, but had six goals scored, zero conceded. That'd be terrifying. Because you're like,
yeah,
like, say, here comes Simeone, right? Like, you're like, oh, classic. God.
Classic Simeone.
But instead, they're pretty much winning every game 3-1. What? What team is this that they're pulling up here in the Champions League and winning every game 3-1? Fine, not the deepest group that they're ever going to face, right? We know that. We understand that. Nonetheless, pretty impressive. And honestly, if this is the side coming forth for the rest of the competition, I look forward to these games. And normally, nobody looks forward to Atletico Madrid games because we know what they are.
Yeah, nobody does. But it's crazy that they're still doing this with like a 2018 lineup. Like, because you look at their lineup and it's like Antoine Griezmann, Morata, Salamiguez, Koke. Like, this is a 2018 lineup if I've ever seen one.
To be fair, they've adapted pretty nicely in some areas of the pitch, right? But at the same time,
listen to the names I just said: Griezmann, Morata,
it's true,
Llorente, Koke, and Niguez.
Yep. Listen,
come on now.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And Oblak, obviously, Oblak is the unmovable quantity here. Yeah. Axel Witsel at center back in a back three.
Yeah, it's a real decent like Simeone spine with the little flair additions of Carrera. And Memphis coming off the bench with the emergence of Rodrigo Riquelme, who's absolutely loving life there, right? Like, this is a boyhood Atleti fan. Not to mention, you have the menace of all menaces. Lionel Messi's personal bodyguard, Rodrigo De Paul, in the middle of the pitch as well. Like, they're out here doing some real dark arts of football stuff, but they're scoring more. And I kind of like that they're willing to do that because it's a side that we maybe didn't expect, and that at one point we never thought that we could see this. So good for them. Any expectations for Atletico Madrid in this competition?
Is used for money laundering in football. No expectations on Atleti, to be honest. Atleti will live and die by their own doing.
But it's refreshing to see them like going out and trying new things here.
Yeah, definitely.
Group F
because we've been saying for 4 years that they need to change their manager. But
agreed. Yeah. Let's do Group F. Because this is really where, you know, the conversation
takes place.
This was the group of death. As I predicted this table to go, it was PSG, Milan, Newcastle, Dortmund. And I had to bet against my beloved Bundesliga side here because I was like, dude, this is just not it.
0 for 4 is nuts, but I'm pretty sure you're happy to be wrong in this occasion.
0 for 4 is nuts, bro. But I mean, it goes to show what the group of death was, because to be fair, there's a lot of scenarios where my table comes true. A lot of scenarios where that's exactly how it was supposed to happen. It's not what happened. I want you to tell me why. Where was the mistakes? Was it PSG's to lose? Why did they fall? What the hell happened with Newcastle? Were they just not ready for this stage? Because to be fair, this group was pretty open depending on the results of different fixtures. It finished pretty close.
It actually, I think at some point anybody could have gone through, right? Like, let's say game week 5, anybody could have still gone through.
It was wide open. Yeah. Because they were all beating each other, right?
That's very true. PSG walked into this group thinking that they were absolutely going to steamroll everyone, and they didn't. And they got a 4-1 slappage in St. James's Park to open up the group. And
which really hurt their stats, too.
Big time.
Because and that the goal difference would have only conceded 4 for the rest of the group, but they conceded 4 in one game. Like, that's nuts, dude.
Like, just think about it. They're doing almost exactly what Copenhagen did.
Slightly better than Copenhagen. Like, they're way more chaotic more to get goal. There. Way more chaotic. Goal.
So they played 6 games, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses, 9 goals, 8 conceded. This is the exact same record that Copenhagen got, except one less goal scored.
If you're any team that finished first, would you rather draw Inter or PSG in the next round?
I'd rather draw PSG. Big time.
That's crazy. Think about what we just said.
Yeah,
we'd rather draw PSG than Inter, whereas PSG are supposed to be one of the absolute, strike fear into you type teams. Why? What the hell's going on with PSG? I agree with you. I don't even disagree, but why? How did PSG get here?
Because they think they're better than everyone else, but they're not. On paper, they could be.
Right.
But this is the same story every single year. Mm. They get through the group stages. And then they still think they're better than everybody else. And whoops. They just constantly under deliver. and they overestimate themselves and they don't take their opposition seriously and they don't really want to do it.
They get outworked.
They get outworked all the time. Like, they got outworked twice against Newcastle. And if it wasn't for a last minute penalty, they could have actually not qualified in this group.
You're right. They probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, they got saved by that.
That's a great point. Dude, this group, the table is actually pretty even. I actually think this was a really fun group of death because there's so many ways that this could have played out. Dortmund finished on 11 points. But at the same time, if they lost the final match day, they would have finished on 8. PSG could have finished on 11. AC Milan could have finished on 11. And Newcastle could have finished on 8 as well, which would have been enough for second place. Right? So there's a lot of scenarios where this, depending on the fixtures, it could have gone very, very differently. I think it lived up to the hype pretty well. I feel for Newcastle because Newcastle don't have the depth to compete on any fronts, really, especially with how hard they work. Like, the fact that they ran...
Yeah, no depth, PSG, no pedigree. Like,
honestly, it's not even for pedigree for them. It's not as big a deal. And the reason is that the expectation is not on them to win. So the pedigree, they don't really need it. They just play their absolute hardest. Whereas a lot of teams, I feel like, don't sometimes. They just, like, they don't want it as bad as Newcastle did.
PSG.
Literally. Newcastle wanted it more than anything. And their one win in the Champions League in their Champions League group here came by smashing PSG at home. That's a big deal. Good for them. That's a win.
And their second win should have came also against PSG.
Right.
They just got saved by a last minute penalty.
You're right.
A handball that wasn't a controversial one. Have been a penalty, right? Like,
yep. I feel for Newcastle. Because have you seen a Newcastle game lately?
Yeah.
They're gassed, bro. These dudes wish that they were playing in the Bundesliga. They could just have a couple weeks off for the holidays to just be like, guys. Please let us recover. Tough. I cannot continue like this. And they're right. They can't continue like this. It doesn't seem like it's a lot. 6 extra games. Like, is that really stretching yourself so thin? Yes. Because you're giving everything midweek you're basically playing 3 times a week for 4 months at that point. And it's a lot. So they're tired. AC Milan, speaking of tired, I'm tired of AC Milan not hitting deliverables here for them. Okay, because you have Rafa Leão scoring bikes in the Champions League and you're like, yes. And then he'll just put out some very disappointing campaigns. You're like, no, like, guys, figure it out. This is like the epitome of teams that are hot and cold. When they're hot, they're hot. When they're cold, bro, they are so cold. It's unbelievable.
No.
And it fits because they literally went 2-2-2 and they had more goals conceded than they had goals for. PSG, like I said, I don't think they want it that bad. I think that they expect it, but they don't want to earn it. And that's really disappointing. I talked about this a few weeks ago I think you brought up, right? Their Champions League campaign. And we talked about how Luis Enrique just might not be the right manager for this group of players.
Right.
It's not his fault. It's not really the player's fault. It's just that the match for them doesn't really click.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. I feel like if you brought in, especially with how talented and the potential of some of these kids in their team, if you brought in a manager who could cultivate that skill set, they'd be better off, even if their X's and O's were worse, because I feel like PSG would have the best chance of winning that way. And then Dortmund, to be honest, I'm as surprised as anybody, because Dortmund, we talked about this going into the campaign, they lacked their star boy. It was like, who's going to take Dortmund forward? Who's going to be the guy? And what they have kind of shown is they're like, maybe we don't need a guy. Maybe we can get a couple of guys to just fill out miscellaneously, right? Because you have Julian Brandt, who's just always sticking around doing his thing. I actually can't fault Niklas Füllkrug this season because he's just producing at a very respectable rate, kind of like the Ollie Watkins return that we kind of alluded to last week.
Right. You're
just like doing your thing week in and week out. Defensively, they've been decent. The wingers are always going to be a point of attack for Dortmund. And I think that they might have struggled with that a little bit last season. Whereas now Edin Terzic has his wingers back and he's like, no, we can get at people. Let's do it. And they have. Now, they looked like they were going to lose a whole bunch of times and they didn't. So it's like, good for Dortmund. Honestly, I don't know how far Dortmund go in this competition. You're not talking about lack of conviction or pedigree. Dortmund's probably the top of the list for that. But at the same time,
they've already exceeded their expectations for this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I really think so. I don't think they go very far in this competition because they're like, bro, like I said, no conviction at all in their performances. But they topped the group of death. So that bodes very, very well for them.
Yeah, they must have been doing something, right? Because I did not expect them. I think you and I both had them fourth, right? Like, this is a group that you and I probably had the same order. I don't remember what my predictions were, but I think we both predicted the Rubidoux the exact same way. And we both went 0-4 and we both disrespected Dortmund. I still think that Dortmund might actually exit the competition now, but finishing first, they avoid so many heavy hitters that you don't even know what's going to come next. Like maybe they just get like a fucking, I don't know, like a, oh, sorry, like a Porto or whatever. Who knows?
It's very possible, bro. I wonder. And I'm excited. This is like exciting for Champions League because it's like they're on a run of very interesting form that will lend itself nicely to a fun game of football to watch, if not a guaranteed win or a guaranteed loss.
Yeah, I agree.
Can we move on to Group G?
Yeah, your boys.
Group G, we nailed. Boys. I mean, realistically, we know it was going to be City and Leipzig. The rest of it's not really worth talking about. I think that the biggest thing here is for City. And the reason is that City are currently in a very, very poor run of form. Even if they won their Champions League group comfortably, that was never going to be a doubt for them. 18 goals scored, if I'm not mistaken. Seven conceded. Seven conceded is a little bit alarming for City. What's more alarming for City is how bad the run of form that we're currently in is. Like, City cannot click right now. And we have the Club World Cup coming up in December. That's more games in a different continent, by the way.
Yeah.
Not to mention then coming back for
a super, in Saudi Arabia, right?
It's in Saudi Arabia, yeah. And then a super congested game or whole like sequence of games over the Christmas break, right into the new year and right into the Champions League again. You know, like I've spoken just, about this at length. I'm not necessarily sweating yet, but at the same time, I'm a little, you know, like, hey, you know, what's going on?
Hey, here, Rodri, boys? Please, yeah, please, like, buddy, come back.
Kevin De Bruyne, can we, we're starting to feel,
you know, what the good thing is he's already in Saudi Arabia.
De Bruyne?
You're just going to go meet him up over there. He was
today.
I don't know.
Yeah, he was here today. He's
still there.
He was there today in the stands as we squandered a 2-0 lead at home. Manchester City squandered a 2-0 lead at home to draw level with Palace.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen, bro. Like, there's something a little bit off here. I've received my fair share of, you know, joys from this club. So I'm personally comfortable with not all of the spotlight this season, but at the same time, like, you gotta defend what's yours, right? So if we lose with dignity, right? Like,
yeah,
make it close, try really, really hard to get stuff. We're not clicking right now, bro. And it is a little bit alarming. Now, again,
a little bit of a concern.
It will only really become a concern in April if we're not doing what we always do, which is click into that run of form where we just start steamrolling people. I have to see us get there, but I have confidence that we can get there because I've seen it every single year. So I'm not really that concerned about it. Though this feels like it's a bad stretch of time. Maybe it's form. Maybe we're just making it competitive. I don't know if it'll be different for the Prem versus the Champions League. But I will say it's not really smooth sailing right now, and I'm not super impressed.
No, but ultimately, at the moment, it's only 4 points behind top, so not really a crisis.
I mean, listen, for City, what's a crisis, right?
It could be seven. It could be seven if Arsenal and Liverpool win, but, like, you're right. If they don't kick into gear in April, then that's a concern, right? Like, if this is April time and it's still around 7-point gap and it's, you know, the Gundogan, nobody's filling in for that role and nobody's actually, like, kicking into gear, then maybe. But it is entirely possible that Jack Grealish is being left on ice on the bench at the moment so that he is brought on in March to fully help his liver and kidneys recover from the summer that he had. Then just fully kick into gear and be the guy.
To him, because Doku's been injured the past few games, Grealish has scored his last three games in a row, which is a really good return for him. Haaland's injured right now. Haaland's also been a little bit starving for chances, waiting for De Bruyne. So I feel like as soon as De Bruyne's back, we're going to get Haaland on another level again. So that's why I'm
like, call me when Kevin's back.
That's really, like, I'm not that, because even Kev grew his hair out. Like, he's looking like he's just like, oh, the prince has come to slay the dragon, which is all the adversity that we're going to face. I'm not super nervous. You know, we're 6-6. From a Champions League perspective, City are doing what they're supposed to do. It's just that things are not, you know, you say, what's a crisis for City? 7 points behind isn't a crisis. You got to figure City are usually the team with the 7-point lead, which means we're 14 points off where we normally are, right? So if you think about it from that perspective,
going almost, like, the same as last year, though.
Yeah, that's fair. We were just only behind one team last year. So now we actually have to race with a couple other teams. It's not the usual position. As of right now, I would say City are going to beat whoever they draw in the next round. So I don't care. We're good.
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely. Next round or two. I would like to just give a little shout out to Lois Openda for having 14 goal contributions in 15 games this year at this stage.
Sick. I'm going to give a shout out to my best friend, Mina Galli, for shouting out Lois Openda, a striker in the Bundesliga and from Ligue 1 before that. This is what I'm talking about. But this is what Jerseyball is all about. I didn't have to shout out Lois Openda. I have co-hosts who do that shit for me, man. Yes. I love it. Excellent shout out. Amazing.
Yeah, move over, Xavi Simons. You're not the only one on this team.
Yeah, you bum, bro. Let's talk about Xavi Simons a different day, bro. You ain't no Lois Openda. Can we do Group H? And then we're going to wrap because we've been going for like an hour already. Or almost.
Yeah, let's go.
Barca top their group. Actually, this group, I nailed. Like, literally nailed it. Barca, Porto, Shakhtar, yeah, Antwerp. Barca made
it. This was my prediction.
Barca made it back to the Champions League knockout stages for the first time. Barely. A long time. And it wasn't that close. You know what I mean? Nope. Like, Royal Antwerp had 3 points in this competition. They went 1-0-5. Their one was beating Barca. So it's like, Barca, come on. Like, come on. I know you got injuries. I know there's stuff going on. Come on. You got to do better than this. I know you topped your group too. I understand. You also didn't have the best goal difference in the group, right?
Same points as Porto.
Same exact record as Porto. Same exact record. Worst goal difference. You lost to Royal Antwerp, bro. Royal Antwerp could say in their history, there's a night that we beat Barca. Like, come on, man.
That's crazy.
You know, like, I'm not super impressed right now. I don't know. What do you make of Barca? And I won't say back. I say back very, very loosely. But are Barca back in a conversation or in contention at all to be competing for the Champions League? Or is the end of the road coming?
Not for me.
Very, very.
The end of the road has to come at some point. They're back and it works in Spain for them because they controlled 80% of the possession without doing anything with it. And that worked for them last year and they won the league. So obviously you can't fluke a 38-week-long season. Right. So good for them. I just don't think it works in the Champions League. And yeah, those are famous words, famous last words, whatever. You can come at me if you want. I doubt anybody's going to feel that strongly about those words. But in the Champions League, I think you just need a little bit more. You need a little bit more conviction. They're not playing with Liva at all. They're relying on 15-year-old Lamine Yamal to try and come up with the goods.
Yeah. And the
we thought Joao would like kick on a lot more than he did.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's for any fault of his own, but he started off hot. And I think it's just kind of like tailored off. Same with Gundogan, started off really hot. Again, cooled off a little bit.
Same with Lewandowski, right? Like cool. Yeah. Return. Lewandowski is supposed to be a double output type of striker. And he's just been a single output striker. And you're like, that's good, but it's not good for a Lewandowski standard.
Because your team's good on paper, though. Like, I don't understand how they don't perform better than they do.
Yeah.
They should be a lot better. They should be getting more results than they currently have. Like, you look at their back four, like Balde, Koundé, Araujo, and Cancelo, and you get Pedri, De Jong, and Gundogan in midfield. Like, and then all the attackers that they have. How is this team not actually winning with a lot more conviction?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. How do they not have more conviction? I think that's literally the perfect word. It's like, are you guys not hungry for it? Because it's fine to have all the possession in the world. Where's the killer instinct?
Do something with it.
I don't feel like they have killers in their team. And I think that they really need to. Now, by the same token, let's be real. Copenhagen, PSV, Lazio to some extent, not super strong place teams in second, right? Napoli, not at their best. Inter will be a nightmare matchup for them. PSG, that's fireworks. If we get PSG and Barca again in the round of 16, that'll just be fun just for the badges. Or Leipzig. Of the second clubs I named there, I'm not certain that Barca are beating them if they draw any of those teams. So, I don't know. Like, for a first place team, believe it or not, if you're in second right now, I kind of think a lot of teams in second will be like, yo, I would love to draw Barca. Because I feel I can beat them.
Yeah, is this the easiest first place team? Like, you're competing against Sociedad, Dortmund, and maybe Atletico Madrid for that. But Atleti, they're in that conversation.
Atleti don't deserve to be in that. Atleti don't deserve to be in that. Atleti are strong.
Okay.
I would say Dortmund.
Dortmund, Barca, and Sociedad.
I guess, but yo, even look at Sociedad, bro. Like Sociedad have to. They had some good teams in their group. They conceded twice. Like from name value, fine. But from actual football perspectives, and by the way, Barca and Sociedad won't draw each other, right? Like there's no way that they can because they're both in first and they're both Spanish. So like that matchup can't even happen. But from who's weaker? I don't know. I guess you'd probably say you'd rather play against Real Sociedad than Barcelona in theory, only on
name value though, which is great. Right,
but in reality, you're like, why? Like, why would I actually want to do that? Because Barca, you know, fine. They basically won all their games 2-1.
What's the expectation for Barca then?
I feel like Barca's expectations will be reach a semifinal. I think Barca can realistically make
of the group stages last year, though.
I know. That's why I'm saying. I think for them, they're going to be like, yo, we got to really up our conviction by making a semifinal and showing people that we're one of the best clubs in Europe. I feel like that's not attainable. I feel like there may be, I'm serious, bro. Depending on the matchups, they'll be lucky to reach a quarterfinal. I wouldn't be surprised if they got knocked out in round of 16. If they draw somebody,
it depends.
And by the way, if they draw Inter, done. They're losing.
It's done.
If they draw PSG, it's 50-50. Really, it is 50-50.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's some teams that they're going to draw. Now, if they draw Copenhagen, you go, bro, you might be on the hot seat.
Come on now.
Don't win.
Come on now.
If you draw PSV are fun. Right? We talked about them last week. Over 50 goals this season. Huge for them domestically. Done pretty decent, you know, to finish second in their group. But come on. There's things that now, if they draw like Leipzig and you have the return of Xavi Simons and he gets to just cook his old boys at home, yo.
Yeah, I think that actually might be a nightmare for them. Like Leipzig would be a difficult game for Barcelona.
Right.
Like, because it's the exact opposite of what Barca's doing right now.
Mm.
They're just so energetic and they're so on it. Everybody's on the same wavelength. Right. Whereas Barca, it's a lot of sideways football.
Yeah. I could see it. I could see that upset happening. But anyway, guys, I feel like until we know more, we're not going to be able to fully preview those matchups because we're just talking hypotheticals at this point. Now, there's a few matchups that would probably be really fun, but it's not really worth the what ifs just yet. Because next week on the Jersey Wall podcast, we are going to bring back the what ifs. By the time you listen to that episode, the Marvel series What If will have returned. Finally, by the way, like one of the few good Marvel series from the last several years. And we're big fans of it. And I love thinking about hypotheticals, obviously. Like we do rebuilds, we do so many predictions, we do stuff like that, that it lends itself very nicely. So next week's episode of the Jersey Wall podcast, we're actually going to do our What If Season 2, 10 scenarios that would have changed football as we know it. I'm really looking forward to that one. We'll save the what ifs until then. For now, I've been your host, Mr. Nathan Santos, and this is going to have to wrap up episode number 222 of the Jersey Wall podcast. Brethren, thank you so much for joining me, dude.
Thanks again for having me, man. I look forward to next week.
Absolute pleasure. I look forward to next week. I look forward to the return of the Champions League. And guys, if you want us to find more Jersey Wall content, please click the link in our description. Otherwise, we'll see you next time right here on the